Yes, Lord.
You are the King. You are the Almighty. That even though we do not see you, we see the wonderful work that you are doing. We see the mighty work that you are doing. We see the grace that you have used to envelope us. We see the great blessings that you bestow on us on a daily basis. Father, we appreciate you. Lord, we thank you. Heavenly Lord, we adore you. And so we come in your presence today, O Lord. We ask that you will speak with us. We ask that you will give us the spirit to hear and to obey, and that testimonies will follow your words. Your word will bring blessings, and your word will bring healing. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Let's appreciate the worship team for a wonderful rendition. Thank you very much. We thank God for your life. Please, let's go very quickly to Ephesians 1. We will read verse 3 to 11. And I've asked that they put up the New Living Translation, because I think you will get a full import of that passage from that. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Verse 5. Verse 5. Okay, let me read from my own so that I can go very quickly. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured on us who belongs to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us the mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and he made everything work out according to his plan. May God bless the reading of his words. Brethren, according to God's plan, we are in a season of grace. And I think, quickly, you should ask yourself, in a season of grace, what is my expectation? You can't just walk in a season of grace and not expect the element of grace to begin to manifest in your life. You have to. I mean that despite what is going on around you, God has said, that you and I will receive grace. Explore. You will receive grace for blessings. You will receive grace for protection. I say his grace will envelope you and you will receive protection. Not only you and your family. I'm sure you know that grace is unmerited favor. unmerited favor. That is mercy and favor. From what Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, God pour his grace on us at his pleasure. At his pleasure. The way he wants it. The way he plans it. He says he has already made a plan for us. He has purchased us right from the beginning. So what in specifics are you expecting in this season? After all, you know that his words will not fall on the ground. He is not a man that will promise and not fulfill. His word, he will keep it. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for thousands of generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So he will keep his promise. He will show you mercy. He will favor you. But there's a question that is in that passage. There is a caveat that is there. And the caveat has to do with whether you love God. I think and I suspect, and I would like you to key into that today, that it is like his grace is for those who love him. It's like the grace of God that we are walking into is for those who love him. So the question to you is, do you love God? I know your answer is yes, because my own answer is also yes. Also in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. To those who are called according to the purpose. So you need to underscore and underline the word, all things work together. For you, for me, if we love God. And I tell you, it is important that things work together for good for us at this point in time. At this point in time, when things are very difficult, when situations are so uncertain, when we hear all kinds of things, all of those things must work for our good. And I pray that all things will work for good for you in Jesus' name. But then you must love God. You must love God. In the circumstances that we have, that we are now, it is important that you love God. Because as you can see, it is by mercy that we are saved. Anu lariba o. Brethren, anu lariba. Thousands of things are happening all around us. But here we are, saved by his mercy. Saved and favored by God. Because it is by his mercy and his grace that we are surviving. So this is the reason why we should and we need to really love God. And so the title of today's message is Those Who Love God. Those Who Love God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for who? For those who love him. And in Corinthians 8:3, the Bible also says, but if anyone loves God, that one is known by him. Can you imagine that in the circumstances that we are now, in the world and situations that are around us now, if one is not known by God, if one is not identified
by God. How can we receive grace if we are not known by Him? Just imagine it. Imagine that we are doing our things irregardless of God's protection, God's guidance, God's preservation, God's provision. It's not possible. It's not possible. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible when God is present. Because He will not only guarantee you survival when you go through challenges, He will even guarantee you success, and He will guarantee you significance. He will not only bless you, He will get you to a level where you will become a blessing. It's the only hope. Is the only pillar of support. Proverbs 8:21 says, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasure. I hope you see the logic. I hope you are beginning to follow me as I follow Christ. Because it says, if you love God, you are protected. All things will work for you. Even things that are extraordinary. Things that eyes have not seen. Things that ears have not heard. Things that are not yet in the thinking of men. In anyone's thinking. Such things you'll be able to do. That's what God prepares for you. And upon all of that, of course, you will inherit wealth. It will fill your treasures. So it's a total package if you love God. A total package that goes from protection to provision to preservation. And of course, prosperity. Despite challenges, if you love God, that's what will be your inheritance. That's what will be your portion. Let's quickly look at examples of a few people in the Bible who really loved God even when they were going through hard times. Look at Job. An upright man, a perfect man, one that fears God, one that loves God, wealthy. The Bible describes the number of cattle, the number of goats, the number of livestock, which is by what they count goods and wealth in those days. He had a large family, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He's well connected, has a lot of friends, well respected. But he was tested. He was tried by Satan. But with the permission of God. I'm sure you know that story. With the permission of God. So it wasn't as if he did anything wrong. He went through a hard time. He lost everything. But he stayed loving God. In Job 13:15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He had confidence in God. Finally, he regained everything. In multiples. In multiples. That's an example. That's an example. Second example is Dorcas. A devotee. Someone who loves God. Someone who serves God. She served God with her resources and with her talent. In fact, she serves God with a needle. She was doing good to widows and the needy. Charity, she was the best. Philanthropist, par excellence. But the Bible said, she was sick and she died. Of course, the Bible did not record families around her mourning. It was the needy. The widows that were weeping. And they heard of Peter. And they quickly went to Peter and asked Peter to come. And Peter came. There was no way Peter would have refused. Because this multitude of people that he has done a lot of good to. Peter prayed. And then Peter said, "Tabitha, arise." And Dorcas came back to life. Dorcas was restored because of her love for God and serving God with all that she has. Remember Joseph? There are many Josephs in the Bible, but I'm talking about Joseph the carpenter. I'm talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Christ. A religious Jew, Mary was betrothed to him. Then he discovered that Mary was pregnant. The Bible says he had the mind to put her, but he didn't. He tarried. He waited on God until he received a revelation. And right from the moment he received that revelation, he started taking proper, full care of Mary, the pregnancy, and of course, the child. You can imagine what friends would have said. You can imagine what others who didn't love God, who didn't believe in God, who didn't fear God, would have said. Of course, he was rewarded with a special relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. He became a prosperous carpenter, and he died at old age. There are many other examples in the Bible of people who love God and went through crisis and received grace. Received favor and received mercy. You can talk about Nehemiah. You can talk about Esther. And of course, David. Please, note a few lessons from these examples of people who love God in the Bible that we have just gone through. Number one lesson is that painful ride of human life is capable of a blessed solution. Let me repeat. Painful ride of human life, things we go through, difficulties we go through all the time, is capable of a blessed solution. And so I pray for you this morning that whatever it is you are going through, the Lord Almighty will turn it into a blessing for you. He will favor you and you will receive special blessings. You will do exploits despite your challenges. Number two, justice will be done sometime, somehow, and somewhere. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. For those who love God, delay is not denial. Number three, with the love of God, even dead situations will receive life and will be resurrected. With the love of God, every situation in your life, in my life, that is dead will receive life and will resurrect this morning in Jesus' name. Is it your business? Is it your finances? Is it your health? Is it your ministry? Any part of your life that is experiencing decline, or you can even say dead, today by the special grace of God, they will receive life and they will resurrect in Jesus' name. The last lesson that I think you can pick is that with God's love, you will have divine wisdom and you will not make hasty decisions. With the love of God in your heart, you will have divine wisdom. You will receive special wisdom and you will not make hasty decisions. You will have the patience to wait on God. You will have the patience to wait in your position for your portion. Oh, you will have the wisdom to stay in your location for your allocation. Because it takes wisdom for you to discover what is the purpose of God for your life and to stay in it. And to stay the course despite challenges. These are the lessons that we have seen from the life of the few ones. So, let's talk about how do you love God? Is it that you just fancy God and all the miraculous things that He does? Is it that you like to be in His presence, come to church? You are emotionally attached. Anytime they mention Jesus, you are excited. Just the way you love your spouse, you love your children, you love your friends. Yes, that is correct. But it is much more. Brethren, it is 100% trust in God. It is 100% believe in God. It is 100% dedication to God. Deuteronomy 7:11 says, therefore, you shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgment which I command you today to observe them. That follows Deuteronomy 7:9, where he says you will receive covenant that has been promised to descendants. But there is things you must do. There are things you must do. If you will do those things as demonstrations of the fact that you love God, then verse 12 says, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to this judgment and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you the covenant and the mercy which he has sworn to your fathers. 13 says, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. And I hope you will say amen. And the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offerings of your flock in the land which he has sworn to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people, and there shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness. All sickness will be taken away from you. And will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on those who ate you. COVID will not be your portion. And peradventure, it is, you will be healed. You will receive a new life. God will bless you if you love Him. He will bless your work. He will bless your home. Obeying the commandment as stipulated in that verse we have just read is not easy. Obeying judgment, observing judgment of God is not easy. In fact, we have come to realize that we should not love the God of commandment or the God of judgment. We should love the God of love. Because it is not easy. It's a tough meet. We have all missed it. We are unable to meet up to His commandment. But despite all of that, He still loves us. I said, despite our inadequacies, this faithful God, this mighty God, This everlasting King still loves us. Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:25, I thank God, though, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Message version makes it a little bit clearer. It says, the answer, thanks to God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally contrary, totally different. Also in 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, the Bible says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, that is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, what's happening here is that in the old books, to love God, we have to obey the commandments. We have to observe the judgments. That's when all those prayers that are in Deuteronomy, that I said and you said amen to, will come to be. But we are people of blood and flesh. And we had found it very difficult to obey them. So, we are beginning to move away God, in the love of God. But this benevolent God sent his only son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be repurchased. And that is where we are. So I think that having been redeemed, easier for us to stay in the love of God. And this is how. The olden days, the Bible said, King Uzziah loved God by serving him, and he was successful. If you go to Chronicles 3:21, it says, and in every work that he began in the service of in house of God, in the law and in the commandment, he seeked God, and he did with all his heart, so he prospered. It is the same thing even in the New Read. If you read Romans 14, verse 17 and 18, you will see that we are told that if we serve Christ in righteousness, in peace and joy, we will be acceptable to God. We will be approved by men. In fact, Message version of Romans 14, 18 says, your task is single-minded serving Christ. That's all you need to do. And you will have killed two birds with one stone. Please, and prove of, and proving your words to people around you. So, now that we are in his love, all we need to do, I was excited when my sister came up here in the testimony and said, I know that God is in this church and I will continue to serve him. Serving God, it seems to be the solution. It is the demonstration of the fact that we love God. And when we are serving him, we are shielded from sin. We are kept in his presence. We find it very difficult to sin. Satan finds it very difficult to even tempt us. As you saw in the case of Job, Satan had to go and take permission. Because Job was in God's presence. So if we are serving God, whether we like it or not, we will begin to see that we will be obeying the commandment. We will be observing and cautious of judgment. Because we will be doing things that pleases God. So not only will God's love increase on us, we will begin to receive grace, favor, which is favor and mercy. Abundant flow of mercy, of favor, of follows those who no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And evidence, testimonies and evidence in this church. You've heard of Ifedo Sumu's evidence, our testimony. It is because she serves God. Noted by everyone, approved by men, approved by God. What of Ife Okumadewa? Doing exploits for God. Not only making a fourth school, but doing a master's in the college, University College London, with distinction in the service of God during COVID. You had Olumide Adeko talking about how God did marvelously for him and his family at the wedding of their daughter. For those who are here, for those who are here, you saw the crowd. And it not only gave him enough feed to feed everyone, there was surplus. The reward of serving God. The grace of serving God. Look at Kabiesi and Auntie Grace. See what God did for them. I don't know whether those of you who had Sister Jade Lokulo Shodikwa's testimony last week really, really, really understand what was going on. Because for that 5 minutes, or no, that 5 minutes clip, you wouldn't have known everything. If you had had relations that have gone through COVID and died and buried, you will know what we are talking about. Why would Sister Jade Lokulo Shodikwa not survive even the hardest of COVID? To see the work she's done, both in the church, in our community, even in the University of Ibadan, the lectures. So when you serve God, He preserves you. There are many other testimonies in this church of people who have just dedicated themselves to the service of God, and how grace and mercy continues to pour into their life. Do I tell my story? When I started, and we're always very happy to say it, when my wife brought me to church, as soon as the service finishes, when we were in Cocoa House, I went into the get into the car and wait for her. I wasn't taking part in anything. And believe you me, we were just surviving. But the moment, and one of my pastors has already predicted, said, "Pap, Daddy, you will teach one day." The moment I started serving God, started moving in leaps and bounds. Even the first that I didn't do in school, I started doing this, even in the marketplace. First to get, first to do this, first to do that. So God, you serve God. The moment you stay in His presence, the moment you demonstrate your love for Him, brethren, grace, favor, mercy shall abound. So the bottom line is this. Those who love God are those who serve God. And they shall not be in want. And they shall continually receive grace. So today I urge you to renew energy in serving God. I don't want you to be in doubt. I want you to be convinced and confident that serving God is the correct and only strategy to loving God. And that is all you need for a victorious, successful, joyous, and precious life. How do you serve God? Yeah, you can serve God in the vineyard. But believe you me, you can serve God even much more in the marketplace. In the marketplace. At your work, in your family, in your community, amongst your friends. You can serve God. You can continue doing good to all, serving as God's hand. You saw all the examples we have given. Making sure you are your brother's keeper. Making sure you make good relationship. Whatever time you have, whatever little resources you have, share with those who are in need. Share ideas, share views. Say good things about people. Pray for people, for people's goodness. Serve without any distraction. 1 Corinthians 7:35 says, "And this I say to you, for your own profit, not that I really put a leech on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction." Without even any expectation of gratification. There are people who serve in this church as if it is their life depends on service, their points of service. That's it. Without any expectation. Serving from your heart, not from your head or from your eyes. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service. Not with eye service as to men pleasers. Don't try to serve to please pastor, to please elder, to please your team leader. Serve to please God. But as a bond servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The reward of service, loving God, the reward of loving God through service exists. There's no doubt about it. It exists. And if you really, really want to know about it so that that can propel you, read Isaiah 54. Read Isaiah 54. Read what is called the heritage of the servant. The inheritance of the servant. The reward of the servant. Isaiah 54 verses 2 to 17. Each of the verse tells you about the reward. Read it several times and be very confident that if I continue to serve God as a demonstration of loving God in this season that we are getting into, I will have the following inheritance. And they are as follows. You will have expansion. You will have expansion. That's what is in verse 3. Even your descendants will blossom. That's what verse 3 says. Verse 4 says that you will not be ashamed. You will not be disgraced. In verse 5, you will receive mercy. Even for your mistakes. Because you have an everlasting kindness from God. That's verse 7 and 8. You will get blessings and blessings and blessings. And precious things from God. That's verse 11 and 12. Your children will have peace. That's in verse 13. There will be no fear. There will be no terror. There will be no oppression that will come near you. That's verse 15. Verse 15 is where it says, even when your enemy will gather, even when they will assemble, they will fall. You will not fall. Verse 17 is the most potent. Because we live in a world of tribulations. We live in a world of challenges. Verse 17 is the most potent. So let's read it together. It says, no weapon formed or fashioned against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, you, the Lord God, will condemn. This is the inheritance of those who serve the Lord. And their righteousness is from God. My righteousness is from God. It's not from man. So if you are in doubt about the reward of serving God, the show of love of God, this particular passage breaks it down for you. Brethren, blessings, grace, peace, security, and authority to reign and rule are the heritage and the benefits and the reward of those who serve God. I mean, those who love God. No wonder Jesus said to the 70 people that he sent and appointed to go into cities. He said, behold, and that's in Luke 10:19. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So even as you go out to serve God and to do exploits and to achieve greatness, to win people into his kingdom, to do good as Jesus Christ was doing, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. You will step upon serpents, they will not hurt you. You will trample upon scorpions, they will not bite you. Finally, in Revelation 5:10, the Bible says, the worthy Lamb has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Brethren, you will reign on earth. You will reign on earth. And you will inherit heaven. Because you will not only reign here, salvation will be yours, and you will receive your reward as well in heaven. As we close, let's return to our main question. Do you love God? When we asked that question at the beginning, I said your answer is yes. My answer is yes. But now that we know that the real meaning of it is, are you serving God? Then you probably need to answer that question truthfully. Because those who love God, those who serve God, will receive grace. So I charge you today to renew your mind and resolve that you will continually serve God with all that you have. That is the path that you should take as we enter the season of grace. Let us pray.
Tori teshe anu ni duro. Tori teshe anu ni duro.
Brethren, you will have one main prayer, and I want you to pray it for yourself. Ask that God will strengthen you for service. Say, Father, I want to stay in your love. Today, I rededicate myself. I ask that you will strengthen me for service, for your service. I want to serve you and serve you only. I don't want to serve any other God or man. I want to serve you, O Lord, in every area of my life. Say that prayer at this point in time, and the Lord God will answer you. The Lord God will give you what it takes to be in His service. And as you do so, you will receive grace. You will receive mercy. You will receive favor. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father, we thank you. Once you have spoken, twice we have heard. We cannot do anything by ourselves. We depend on you, O Lord. And so we ask today that you open the heavens on our behalf. We ask for strength to stay under your protection, to receive your provision, and for you to preserve us for good things. We say, O Lord, the grace, the abundant grace that you have promised, Father, continue to bestow it on us in Jesus' name. Continue to bless our ways. Continue to bless our walk. Continue to bless our home. Renew our strength, O Lord. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen.